Another one of those beautiful songs we need to learn to sing. A beautiful expression of the very truth that we will reflect on tonight. And in light of what we confess in Article 26 of the Belgic Confession, we turn our Bibles to Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 7. Hebrews 4, page 1189. And then in the Forms and Prayers book, please turn with me to page 180. This is a long article. Don't worry, we won't read it all, but we will read as much as we need to hear and truly see what it is that we confess here. And this is a unique article in our confessions because it focuses specifically on Christ's work now in interceding for us. But it is a very precious article if we hear it closely. Let's begin reading Article 26. We believe that we have no access to God except through the one and only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He therefore was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we would have no access. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one according to our fancy. For neither in heaven or among the creatures on the earth is there anyone who loves us more than Jesus Christ does. Notice that. No one loves us more than Jesus does. Although he was in the form of God, he nevertheless emptied himself, taking the form of a man and a servant for us. And he made himself completely like his brothers. Suppose we had to find another intercessor. Who would love us more than he who gave his life for us, even though we were his enemies? And suppose we had to find one who has prestige and power, who has as much of these as he who is seated at the right hand of the Father and who has all power in heaven and on earth, and who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son. So then, sheer unbelief has led to the practice of dishonoring the saints instead of honoring them. That was something the saints never did nor asked for, but which in keeping with their duty, as appears from their writings, they consistently refused. We should not plead here that we are unworthy, for it is not a question of offering our prayers on the basis of our own dignity, but only on the basis of the excellence and dignity of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is ours by faith. And now we're going to stop there and turn to the last section of this article on page 183. That paragraph that begins with, since it has pleased God. Now, what we have skipped over is various biblical references, the most important of which we will read in our scripture reading tonight. And now we come to the conclusions. Since it has pleased God to give us his Son as our intercessor, let us not leave him for another, or rather seek without ever finding. For when God gave him to us, he knew well that we were sinners. Therefore, in following the command of Christ, we call on the Heavenly Father through Christ, our only mediator, as he has taught us by the Lord's Prayer, being assured that we shall obtain all that we ask of the Father in his name. Now, in light of this confession, we'll read, first of all, Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then we turn to chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, this is Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we would have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He had no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priest, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This Father reading from God's holy and infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we reflect on what it is that we can enjoy in this great truth of our Savior's intercession on our behalf. Now, this article, as is very clear, comes out of the immediate context. Remember that this confession was written as a testimony, a witness to the Reformed faith, to point out to the Roman Catholic rulers, Philip II of Spain, that they were indeed faithful Christians, not heretics, but faithful. Yet, in their faithfulness to the scriptures, they were denying what the Roman Catholic Church was professing, especially about the mediators of the saints, or the mediation, I should say, of the saints. And here in particular, it is pointing out that we have in Jesus Christ the most perfect, the most glorious, the greatest, of all mediators. And his greatness is so emphatic that we need no other. In fact, to even presume that there could be another is to dishonor him. And that is the main problem with praying and looking for other mediators in the saints. To embrace this, we need to evade two errors, dangers. And we need to embrace two truths. And that will lead us to four blessings. I believe 2 + 2 still makes 4. What's the two truths that we need to avoid or evade? Well, the first one is to dishonor Christ by seeking to approach God through someone else. The Roman Catholic Catechism makes very clear what it is that the Roman Catholic Church, then when the Catechism was written, or the Confession was written, believed and now still believes. We can and should ask saints to intercede for us and for the world. That's the Catechism of the Catholic Church and their Confession. And the best example of that is the Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That is beautiful. It comes out of Scripture. There's nothing wrong up to that point. But now they continue, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen. It is a prayer for Mary to welcome us when we die into heaven. And this is how they explain it. May she welcome us as our mother at the hour of our passing to lead us to her son, Jesus, in paradise. It is a beautiful sentiment, but it is totally mistaken. It assumes that we will not be embraced by our Savior himself, as though we need his mother to introduce us because he is so great, so exalted, that we need someone else to soften his heart so that he would love us and embrace us. No. Our confession rightly declares what the Word of God teaches. No one has and no one still loves us more than Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. No one has and no one still love us more. Jesus' heart in heaven has not changed towards us. If he loved us when he gave himself to be the redemption for our sins, to die on the cross, do you think now that he would somehow stop loving you? Stop caring about you. Never. He now loves each of his children deeply. So much so that we can affirm that no one loves us more. Why would we want to dishonor him by seeking someone else, as though his love is not enough? No. But the second danger is equally dangerous. And that's to misconstrue Christ's intercession in such a way that the Father was angry with us, and that Jesus had to somehow persuade his Father to care for us, to love us. That he has to change God's mind towards us. No. What's the problem here? The problem here is really to divide the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one in their will, one in their essence as God, and especially one in their love towards us. For God so loved the world that is in rebellion against him, that he gave his Son. He was the love of God that gave Christ to be our Savior. And it's Christ's love that made him willing to be our Savior. There is no distinction in the love of the Father and the love of the Son. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how much more will he not freely give us all things? You see, the Father is not reluctant. Christ doesn't have to twist the Father to be gracious towards us and kind. No. The Father and the Son loves us equally. And when we evade these two errors, we can see what a wonderful intercessor we have in Jesus. And there's especially two things which exalts him above anyone else. The first thing is that he is both God and man. That makes him absolutely unique. There's no one, no being like him, fully God and fully man. Our confession here reminds us that he therefore was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings may have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we will have no access. Well, just think about it. He knows God perfectly, doesn't he? He knows God in all of his infinite glory, wisdom, power, grace, all that is to know about God, he knows. But he also knows you and I. He knows what it means to walk in dirt. He knows what it means to live on earth, to experience the pain of seeing your loved ones die, of being without food and hungry. He knows the pain of broken relationships. He knows intimately what it feels like to be us, because he was and still is fully human. Now, do you see why that makes him such a perfect mediator? He knows what God wants. He knows what we need to fulfill what God wants. So he can pray perfectly so that we receive exactly what we need to do what God wants us to do. He knows everything you're suffering. Everything. So that he can pray perfectly for his Father to give you exactly what you need so that you can walk through the trials and the difficulties and the sufferings that you have to endure here. We're going to see, Lord willing, on Friday night, a little bit more of this beautiful work of Christ, especially in his sympathy with us here. We'll get back to it in a moment too. But not only do we need to embrace that he is both God and man, and therefore he is a perfect mediator for us, we also need to embrace that the work he did on our behalf is finished. It's perfect. The writer to the Hebrew, again and again, would underline that. He is writing to Jews who were tired of being persecuted now that they have become Christians. And so they're thinking, maybe we would have been better off if we never became Christians, if we only stayed in the Old Testament, if we were only following the Jewish scriptures. Maybe we should go back. And so the writer is pointing out again and again that all that the Old Testament preached is fulfilled in Christ. That if you were to go back, you were to go backwards. And so here in chapter 7, he makes it perfectly clear that the priesthood of the Old Testament was an imperfect priesthood. It didn't last. Neither did the priesthood last, but the sacrifices they brought were imperfect themselves, because they had to be brought again and again and again and again, which is, they didn't work. But in contrast to the priest, Jesus lives forever. But not only does he live forever, he offered one sacrifice, and then he was done. Because in the one sacrifice he offered, he fulfilled all that is needed for our salvation. Notice verse 27. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. In his one sacrifice of himself, sin has been completely dealt with. He, in the perfection of his work, has fulfilled all that we need to be right with God. And therefore, he provides us with the perfect access to the Father. Because we come not in our righteousness, but with his righteousness. Now, we are ready to begin to enjoy our Savior's work. I want you to enter into this reality. You are loved by Him. If you rest in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, He loves you now. And that means that His existence at the right hand of the Father is for you. He is there in heaven for you. He is thinking of you. You are on his heart and on his mind. He is not, having, forgive my irreverence, he's not playing a poker game, being busy with his own agenda. His care and concern is for his people. Therefore, you and I have every reason to draw near to God through him. The first thing we enjoy is that he is sympathetic to us. Empathy is to not know what someone experiences, but to join them kind of intellectually. That's not Christ. He's not empathetic towards us. He is sympathetic. He is feeling with us. He joins us completely. And his emotion and his heart is reaching out to us. And he says, I am with you. And I carry you with me before my Father. I know what you need, what you lack. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it means to be human. He knows the struggle to live here in our weakness. And his heart joins us. You don't have to persuade him to listen, to care, to pay attention. There are times when the heavens feels like bronze to us. There are times when we cry out, as the psalmist did, "Where are you?" But what is that? That is our experience. And the Lord sometimes takes his children through that dark valley. And we feel forsaken. We feel God is far away. But what's the temptation? To make our feeling the reality. To begin to think that because I feel forsaken, I am forsaken. Because I feel God is has forgotten me, he has forgotten me. What do? When we do that, we ignore the word of God. And we make our feelings the ultimate authority of our hearts. No. The beauty of owning that Christ is your mediator and intercessor in heaven. Remind you that no matter what you feel, no matter how far you feel from God, no matter how far you think you have dropped from the presence of the Lord, the reality is that you have never been closer. And you will never, never be forgotten by your Savior or forsaken. He was forsaken so that you and I never will be. And now in heaven, he is there. Therefore, you and I can have, should have, notice, let us then with confidence, some translation, boldness, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Whatever your need are, you can go boldly, because Christ is there to help you. Not only does he sympathize with us, but his presence there means that we have and always will have access to the Father. Now, this is a beautiful thing. We are not barred from the presence of God ever. But in Christ, we have access. Notice what we are told in verse 25, chapter 7. Consequently, after the confession that he is an eternal priest, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. There's two things about this access. It is sure and unbroken. Both of those you need to enjoy. That your access to God is constant. That it will never be broken. You can never lose it. Because it's not dependent upon you, but it's Christ who grants it. And he is there in the presence of his Father for how long? Forever. He is always making intercession for you. That's a stunning thing. Always. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Because we can't do anything always. We get tired. We get worn out. But he doesn't get tired or worn out, does he? No, because he's God and man. And therefore, you and I have this unbroken access. But not only is our access unbroken, it is sure. You're not going to be stopped at the gate and said, no entry. You're late. You didn't pay your rent this month. You have no access. No. Christ's presence means that we have always, always free access. Now think about that. You can, anytime, in whatever situation, cry out and God will hear you. He who created heaven and earth is ready to receive whatever you ask, whenever you ask. Do you understand what immense blessing that is? It's too great to fully comprehend, is it? The final blessing we need to enjoy is Christ's presence there at the right hand of his Father, interceding for us, assures us that our salvation is absolutely secure. We need that assurance again and again, don't we? Will I make it to the end? Will I truly be there when Christ comes again? Will my faith not fail along the way? We are reminded that Christ, because he is present there in heaven, interceding for us, assures us that everything we need to make it to the end, he will provide. He will plead with the Father so that we have what we need, so that we may go on, that we won't fall away, that we won't lose our faith, that our sin and the devil and the influence of the world won't triumph over us. Here is what we need as parents, isn't it? We send our children off to college. Will they remain faithful to the Lord? How will they remain faithful? If we look to them, it's a done deal, isn't it? They will fail. But when we look to our Savior, even when it seems they may fail, He is able to do what we can do. And the promises He will keep His children to the end. Because He always lives to make intercession for them. And that means, even though it may seem in the lives of those who have wandered from the faith, that our prayers have not been answered, even though it may seem that our prayers have been useless, the reality is that ultimately, when we entrust ourselves and our loved ones to Him and trust Him, we can rest secure. Because even though we may never see it in our lifetime, and our prayers will end, His prayers never end. And that's our confidence. So draw near to Him. Rejoice and enjoy this beautiful gift that you have a Savior in heaven that keeps praying forever for you. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You are doing and continue to do on our behalf. We acknowledge that we understand so little, and we are so often taken up with our lives and the busyness and all the troubles that surround us that we forget You. That we forget that You love us more than anyone else. And that even now You care for us. And You are praying. Often when we cease to pray, Your prayers are sustaining us. So we want to praise You tonight. And we want to ask You to open our eyes that we may see You and embrace You and truly enjoy that You are our intercessor. We long for that day when we will see You face to face. But until then, will You teach us to depend upon You more? And we thank You, Father, that we may know that You hear us because You hear and will always hear Your Son, through whom we pray. In His name, Amen.